Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This is about electoral reform within the United Kingdom, talking about Westminster. Now, of course, the United Kingdom has already had electoral reform in its constituent parts, should I say countries, for Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, the London Assembly, possibly some county councils. And indeed, when the United Kingdom was part of the European Union for elections to the EU Parliament. But Westminster has always stayed with first past the post. So the UK is divided into 650 constituencies, each with one member of parliament. Whoever gets the most votes in that constituency is elected member of parliament. Very straightforward. But the problem with that is, on a fairly low share of the vote, you can have a majority of seats in parliament, as indeed transpired this last time, with Labour not getting not even a 34% of the vote, but getting up with 64% of the seats. So a clear absolute majority. So quite often you win a constituency of the plurality, which is to say the highest percentage of votes, but still under 50%. Supposing Labour got 49% of the vote and the Conservatives got 40% of the vote in that constituency and the other parties got the remainder, Labour would win all the representation for that constituency, or 48%, 47%, 46%, whatever it is, the highest percentage, but still under 50%. Getting over 50% of constituency is rare, because obviously, remember, the United Kingdom's not just got two parties, it's got like a dozen parties that contest Westminster elections. Now, well, the biggies, Labour, Conservative, Liberal Democrats, the Greens are there, there's a Reform UK, and they're very minor parties. The UK Independence Party's not completely disappeared. They're the racist ones like the BNP or whatever, the National Front's around. I don't know if there's any sort of far left party out there, independent candidates, and obviously the separatists in Plaid Cymru, the Scottish National Party, Northern Ireland's different from the main UK system, and so forth. So many people say it's inequitable and indeed illogical that Labour should have the lion's share of the seats on such a low vote share. They did even better than Tony Blair. 2005, Labour won 35% of the vote and 55% of the seats. On a lower vote share, because Labour got more of the seats. It's all about efficient distribution of the votes. I'll say it again, it's all about efficient distribution of the votes. Roughly 75,000 voters a constituency, and you don't need all 75,000 to win. You don't even need half of them. And bear in mind, a lot of people don't vote. Maybe 50,000 will vote out of 75,000. And you don't even need 25,000 votes. You can easily win with 20,000 votes if that's more than any of the other candidates. And so it goes on. So we could work through various examples. And yes, it is possible to get a majority of the seats, even if you're not the largest party. And it's happened in 2010, in 1951, in February 1974, and so on. So first past the post actually worked very well for Labour. And actually, the previous time, 2019, it was very fair to Labour. Labour getting, 32% of the vote and 31% of the seats, so very close. But this time was a bit different. Now, the Conservatives got 24% of the vote in the Westminster election and 19% of the seats. So it tends to punish parties that aren't the winner. Now, Reform UK is grossly unfair to them, with 14% of the vote and only 1% of the seats. They could easily have got none. The Liberal Democrats, for the very first time, it's actually worked better for them than for the Conservatives. They got 12% of the votes and 11% of the seats. Their vote share hardly increased. The number of votes actually fell from 2019 because of a lower turnout this time. But they've got, so their share of the seats is almost the same as their share of the votes. Only one percentage point below was considered as their 5 percentage points below seat share from vote share. The Green Party, 7% of the votes and 1% of the seats, because it's inefficiently distributed. There are lots of constituencies where they're missing out by 2,000 or 5,000 of votes or whatever. Or even for Labour, if you win by 10,000 votes in a Labour stronghold like Liverpool, Walton or something, it doesn't matter whether you win that by one vote or by 10,000 votes, you've got the MP, that's it. But the other ones would be near misses. They're losing out by 100 or 200 votes. Could they not take some of those excess votes in Liverpool, Walton, and put them to somewhere they narrowly missed out? No, that's it. You know, or Conservatives, where they're narrowly defeated places in London by 2,000 votes, in somewhere they won in the countryside by 5,000, could they take the excess 2,000 and put them into the... No, you can't. That's the way the cookie crumbles. You look at Plaid Cymru, 1% of the vote and 1% of the seats. But of course, it's not very significant because Wales only got 5% of the UK population. There's basically rural North Wales, where Plaid Cymru, the Party of Wales as well. Sinn Féin, 1% of the vote, 1% of the seats. And again, Northern Ireland's got like 3% of the population of the United Kingdom, and the major Westminster parties don't contest those seats that they are entitled to. And the Conservatives did as recently as what was it, 2010, Kerry Badenoch's husband, for example, standing in Derry City. So the Democratic Unionist Party, 1% of the vote, 1% of the seats, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there are various different other electoral systems, a single transferable vote, such as we have with the Republic of Ireland, where you rank your preferences, number one, number two, number three, number four, or yeah, like all the candidates you like, and they can be against each other from the same party, because these a single transferable vote only works in multi-seater constituencies, a constituency that elects two or three or four, however many members of parliament. So rather than having 650 constituencies, you'd slim that down to 325 at least, putting two together or more, or three or four, and so on. And that's highly complex. But anyway, but you know, Northern Ireland Assembly works like that. And the curious thing about the United Kingdom is it's got different electoral systems for different legislatures. And the only one that is resolutely first past the post is Westminster. Another thing is different electoral systems will change voting behaviour, because the minor parties like the Greens or Reform UK would do much better, because the people who are minded to vote for them say, I want to vote Green, but that's thrown away my vote. Only Labour can defeat the Tories. I'm going to vote Labour. So it's negative voting, voting on the basis of what you're against and what you're for. Yes, I'd like to indulge myself for voting for Reform United Kingdom, but they're quite weak here, and I hate the Europhiles and the Liberal Democrats. It's either them or the Tories. I'm going to have to vote for Tory. So it's you know, go voting for the lesser of two evils quite often. Modern single transferable vote wouldn't be like that. You vote for your preferred party if it's a minor one. The candidate, he or she's eliminated first round usually, and then your second preference redistributed to whoever. And though they get the full value of that vote, many problems with SDV. The second preference or the third preference or whatever preference is actually going to elect someone, that has the same value as the first preference. But surely if someone's your first choice, that should count for more than your second or third or fourth, which is with less conviction. And one person's second choice can trump somebody else's first choice and so forth. And some votes can be counted twice because you elect somebody, but that's part of the surplus of the quotas redistributed and blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then we come on to the additional member system, like for the Scottish Parliament, which has got some first past the post, and then that's topped up. Okay, there's a constituency system, first past the post, simple. Then they put several constituencies together, make a region, and the region tops up, and it corrects the disproportionality of the first past the post system through a complex mathematical formula, which is beyond the remit of this video and indeed my comprehension. So proportional representation, PR, no, it's not per rectum. And the simplest way is to treat the United Kingdom as one mega constituency. And if you get 34% of the vote, as Labour did, they get 34% of the seats, and that's very straightforward. Okay, fair, logical, simple. On the other hand, it means for highly fissile politics, Labour would probably split into two or more parties. The Conservatives would split into more traditional, more liberal ones, and blah, blah, blah. And then you have to cobble together a highly fractious coalition of several different parties, as happens in Israel. But Spain's got PR, and they seem to have viable governments. People say the instability would be a problem like that. But, you know, local council level, two or more parties work together all the time. But anyway, so 60 Labour MPs came out in favour of this. Now, when Labour was founded, James Keir Hardie said, OK, first past the post is bad for us because it was a small party. We shall one day be a very big party and it will redound to our advantage. Let's stick with it. And of course, it has accorded Labour some handsome victories, and they never would have got, you know, such a majority now if it was without first past the post. So maybe they think, well, we can squeak through next time. The other hand, they think, well, if we did a proportional representation, okay, we'd have a majority again, but we'd find a way to work with the Lib Dems, the Greens, maybe the SNP, anything to keep the Conservatives out, which is not necessarily a safe assumption, actually, but that's why they're minded not to go for it. And why would Labour change a system which works so well for them? Admittedly, Labour is actually close to panic stations. 5 months in, their approval ratings are third. They're below the Conservative Party and Reform UK. They have rancorously disappointed their supporters. They're actually worse than I thought. Their incompetence, their dishonesty, and their unfair policies just beggar belief. And Keir Starmer's approval rating is down in the lavatory, is lower than Donald Trump's. I used to think that he would seek a second term to emphasize continuity rather than Tory chaos, changing leader every couple of years. But I now realize he's so cursed, he's going to bow out in 4 years' time or so. And who's going to take over then? You know, Yvette Cooper. I think Rachel Reeves, one of those two, is more likely. Anyway, so that's why some of them want it. But anyway, a big distraction from trying to deliver, and Labour's not really delivering. And they say this would be Turkey's voting for Christmas, so we're not going to do it. We reckon it'll help us win to stick with first past the post. They might be right. I mean, things could suddenly go all right for Labour. I mean, if the economy speeds up, if somehow the NHS waiting lists come down, they're already managing to reduce immigration a bit. I mean, it could scarcely get even higher. The Ukraine war ends, you know, energy prices go down, making some progress with renewable energy. There are at least no strikes. The Conservatives of Kemi Badenoch turns out to be a poor leader. She's not fantastic. The Liberal Democrats, some big scandal, or Sir Red Davies stumbles. Things could go right for them. Anyway, thank you for watching my video, but I really don't see Labour doing this. They think it would be at best a waste of time, and indeed may well work to their disadvantage. Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then into PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.